Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Lamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in 1 Samuel chapter 27. Yeah, there are only 12 verses in this chapter, but sometimes when there are only 12 verses, it goes a little bit longer than what you'd think. We also have the last part of dealing with the flesh, the last part that we're talking about right now. The Lord may call me back to do some more of the dealing with the flesh, but this is part 11 of dealing with the flesh, and tomorrow, God willing, I've already done the first part of dealing with self. And we have a couple of letters to read, two or three letters, actually, and or responses. But before that, let's go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this tape, to anoint every word, Lord, that's being said here. Lord, we know that we're not to walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because so many people don't know what to preach or teach. But you clearly told me that you wanted me to read the Bible. And so there's no doubt that this is what you want me to do. And that's why I'm doing it. And this is why you're blessing us so much, is because you gave me the instructions of what to do. And you told me to write literature, and we see all the blessings that have come in that regard. And so people always are wondering, well, what should I speak? What should I say? What should I teach? What should I preach? What should I witness? Or where should I go? What should I do? But I thank you, Lord, for using me as an example to show the world that there is a place where God is talking to somebody and people are responding to and I'm responding to whatever it is that you tell me to do. And the results are clear. We see people saved by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, and we see people healed. We see people's lives changed. We see people delivered. And it's a marvelous feeling to know that through your direction we see this mighty work. Lord, this evening we ask that you anoint every word, every one of the scriptures. First, open up everyone's mind, everyone's spirit, everyone's soul. Lord, that they'll stop living a soulish type life, but that they'll live a spiritual life, a spirit in them that is mingled with your spirit and has the desire to do only that which is your will. And Lord, we ask that you anoint the reading, the translation, and the commentary, and that you anoint the 11th in the series of dealing with the flesh. Lord, that souls will be closer to you, that more of your spirit through the word and the word through the spirit shall enter them and make them know you better. And to know you is to love you. Praise the Lord. And Lord, when people get to know you well, they'll want to communicate with you more. And when they get to communicate with you more, they're going to receive more direction. And when they see more direction, we're going to see a work of God. We're going to see the kingdom of heaven established more and more right on the face of this earth. And Lord, we know that that has to happen soon. Because already we see on the news that China has already taken over 70% of this country's economy, and the people in the administration are not doing anything about it. As a matter of fact, they're creating it. They are obeying, just as Mr. Bush said, they're going to obey the orders of the Pope in Rome, who is the Bible states is the Antichrist cult, who is running all the world government, and also he is running the media, and we know that these things are coming to pass. We also see the great falling away from the church. Now, a lot of people, they can't figure out why this country is being invaded as it is. Well, we see that this is exactly the same way that you let the evil ones invade Israel. And the evil ones invade them many times because they were sinners. The United States of America says, oh, we're a Christian nation, but you don't believe that, Lord. And you know I don't believe that. There's a lot of people believe that, oh, they say, oh, God bless America. And here America is not witnessing and testifying for you. And so you're sending the worst enemy that has ever been known on the face of this earth, Satan's troops, into this country. They are allowing people to migrate in here that were Nazis in World War II. They've already been in here. They've taken over the country. They despise anything that is Christian. People are sitting by and not doing a thing about it. They're despising your name, Father, and they're despising your word, Father, and they're despising your children, Lord. Lord, we ask that you move on the people of the United States, because if they repent, then you will spare this nation. But if they don't, people are going to be... this is a very cruel enemy that has moved into this country. And it's just a shame, because as I knew it years ago, we were the chief, we were the head, and everybody else was the tail. Now people that were the most nothing third world countries have come in, and they're swaggering around, and all the jobs are taken away. The textile industry is now almost everything is in the Orient, and the automobile industry is there, and people are starving to death here. And now they say the textile workers, over a million more of them, are going to be laid off. Lord, you're allowing this to happen, but really the people of the United States have allowed this to happen. They're into false doctrine. They're into just allowing Satan to come in and do whatever he wants to. And I told the people about this, as you instructed me to do years ago, and I've been telling them for years. And Lord, we pray that they'll take hold on your word and begin preaching the gospel to not only the people here in the United States, but to the people in the Orient and to the people in Europe and the Middle East and everywhere. Because if we don't win them to the Lord, Father, if we don't win them to you, to Christ, they're going to destroy us. And you plainly told me if we get your word out to the world, we will not be destroyed, but if we don't, we will be destroyed. Lord, let these words which you're sending through me now sink deeply into the ears of every single listener. It will give you the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanks in Jesus' name. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God Almighty does not think that this is a revival going on in this country. Amen.
Amen.
If we were of the Lord, if this work, this country was of the Lord, why would everybody be? Why would we be taken over as we are now? This is a the land of the free, the home of the brave, where there's righteousness and where there's liberty and justice for everyone. And there's a lot of people that are rebelling. They're killing judges and they're killing, kidnapping, prosecuting attorneys. And there's like chaos and confusion and riot and rebellion in this country. And you're watching the whole thing, Lord, and you could stop it in a nanosecond, which is 1/1,000,000th of a second, if people would repent and cry out and stand up for your word. But will they? I pray they will, Father, and we all do in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
The first one is a witnessing line response sent in by Anna Moan. It says, a young pastor from the Orlando, Florida area called named John. He was given the earthquake and mass suicide tracts by someone he knows to screen for legitimacy.
These are pieces of literature that I've written that God gave me in the past. Okay, and then what else? And I've just revamped the earthquake piece of literature and brought it up to date with more of the things that are going on in the world today. Then what?
John said he was completely fascinated as he read these pieces of literature. Everything he felt and knew was on these pieces of literature. He said, Pastor Lamo is awesome. This is pure, unadulterated love.
No, the Lord that gave it to me is awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Don't try to puff me up. I ain't going for it. Okay, then what else?
Pure, pure, pure. May God increase your ministry.
Oh, amen. Okay, what else?
The pastor wants to join forces with you and sound the trumpet in his area. He asked to be added to our mailing list and left his phone number. He said he is going to write to Pastor Lama.
Well, praise the Lord. And let's make a distributor out of him over there, because if I know that there are hundreds and yet thousands of pastors that are running the church according to the messages that the Lord has given me, and I pray that through these messages that they get closer to the Lord, and the Lord will start feeding them, so I can start receiving some wonderful messages from them as well. Amen?
Amen.
And all of us. We need each other. We're the minority today. Not the blacks, not the Jews, but we Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go some more. But with God, we're the majority. Amen?
Amen.
Because if he be with us, who could be against us? Could the whole world population be against us? They may be against us, but they shall not prevail. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
All right, then what?
This next one's from Grosbeck, Texas. It says, Dear Pastor Lamo, 2 months ago I turned my will and my life over to the care of God and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. There was a time in my life when nothing mattered. Life had no meaning to it. I tried to numb the pain with drugs, and I still felt hollow. The only thing that can fill that void is God. Your newsletters give me hope and peace of mind. God sure had a purpose for you, Mr. Lama.
Well, you know, this would do the same thing for the Chinese, for the Japanese, when they receive it. Amen?
Amen.
The Arabs, the Jews, if they receive what the Lord has given me and others in the world, it'll give them peace where there is no peace or joy. It's for peace and joy for the white man, for the black man and woman, and for the red man, the yellow man, every kind of man. Amen?
Amen.
For humanity. We're all one blood, and the Lord says that we're all God's children. He created us all, but he wants us to be born of the Spirit. He wants us to be mingled with the Spirit of God so that we have eternal life and that we have life more abundantly. We have peace and joy and happiness in this life. Okay, keep going.
Keep on sharing the wisdom of God. The world needs it.
You better believe it, and we need it too. You know, if we keep preaching to the Russians and to the Chinese and everybody in the world, then they receive the gospel just like everybody else is receiving it. And, hey, you know, they're not going to believe the world government anymore. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll have peace. Peace on earth. Not the kind of peace that they're talking about, because the Bible says when these secular leaders are preaching peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. But before that happens, we're going to have peace in our souls, because it doesn't really make any difference what happens to us. If we're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God and doing his will, if anything happened to us, it just, you know, we're going to be right in the kingdom of heaven, and that's what we're all working for anyway. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed if I die. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, make my day. You know, I mean, here's a bullseye. I figured I'd put out some T-shirts with bullseyes on them. Okay, what else?
It's time the people stop walking in darkness and see the light. God bless you, D.R. from Grosbeck, Texas.
Praise the Lord. Okay, and what else you got there?
This last one's from Nigeria, Africa. It says, Dear Pastor Tony, Calvary greetings in the name of the Most High, who has been using you for this great job all over the world.
See, these Africans sound the same way we do, amen, when they get saved?
Amen.
And so will the Chinese, and so will the Ruskies, amen?
Amen.
And the Irish, and the Puerto Ricans, and the Spanish, everybody sounds the same way once they get saved. Because we become one, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's how to solve the world's problems, is Christ, amen? To receive him and do what he says. Then what?
I want to believe that with the help of God, you are doing fine in the ministry, as we are also doing in Nigeria. How are your children?
See, so things are going good there in Nigeria. When they start doing what the Lord says, then they're blessed too over there. Amen?
Amen.
People say, well, what about the people in the darkest, deepest jungles of Africa? Hey, there's so many of those people over there that are born again of the Spirit, and they know the Bible better than the people here in the United States do, as far as I know. You know, when I was put in prison for the gospel's sake, I met a lot of them over there, and they know their Bible. You know, a bunch of them came in on several different occasions, and they know the Bible. Somebody's been over there preaching to them, and look at how intelligent this guy sounds. Now, keep going.
How are your children and church members?
See, compassion. Concern. Then what?
Sir, I hope well. Glory to Jesus. The main objective of this letter is to inform you that some time ago I received the call of God to serve in His vineyard and win souls to His kingdom.
That doesn't sound like some, you know, guy that's saying, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, you know, or something like that, you know. Or, you know, carrying spears and dancing around a bonfire. Okay, this guy is very intelligent, amen?
Amen.
Sounds just like one of us. And then what?
In view of this great calling, I was posted to Abuja, the federal capital city of Nigeria, by my general overseer to be winning souls to Christ there. But I have exhausted the small amount of newsletters I had with me. Sir, I am now handicapped because I have no more literature, magazines, etc., which greatly transform the recipients' lives. As a matter of fact, Abuja is a place dominated or characterized by the politicians and moneybag people. So we need to present something standard and good-looking so they are able to hear what we are telling them to do. Please, sir, I will want to, at this juncture, request for as many of the following materials you can send to me to reach out to the unreached people. Newsletters, literature, holy Bibles, magazines, etc. in the English language. I will be grateful if my request is granted or will be treated with favor.
See how polite he is, and he's Christian, and then what?
And I'm assuring you that the security is guaranteed as touching all these materials. I want to implore you to pray for my ministry for establishment, enlargement, overcoming, and a financial breakthrough. Thanks for your quick response. Yours in His vineyard, J.J. from Niger State, Nigeria, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Okay, now let's start with 1 Samuel, the 27th chapter, and let's do this 12 verses here.
David living among the Philistines, King James Version, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Verse 2. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him, unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. Verse 3. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. Verse 4. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him.
He didn't want to run into those Philistines. Okay, and then what else?
Verse 5. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Verse 6. Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. Translation, verse 1 through 6. David living among the Philistines. But David kept thinking to himself, quote, Someday Saul is going to get me. The best thing for me to do is to escape to the Philistines. Then Saul will stop hunting for me, and I will finally be safe. Unquote. Verse 2. So David took his 600 men and their families and went to live at Gath under the protection of King Achish.
See, now that's just like today, you know, when your president is being led by the Pope and everything, you just figure, well, man, let's get out of this country because the persecuting is too much. But where can you go in this world? Because it's a world government now, and it's all being run by the Pope and Satan himself. And so where can you go but to the Lord? Amen? Just like the people in Egypt, where could they go but to the Lord? And when they did, God, you know, destroyed them, but he put them in a safe place while he was wrecking the place. Amen?
Amen.
And he made a way through the Red Sea, and then he drowned the entire troops of Pharaoh. And then he started letting bread and water be found on the desert. The water came out of a flint, and the bread was just would be on the ground just like hoarfrost in the morning. Tasted just like coriander seeds, like with honey in it. And it kept him alive for a lot of years. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the Lord provides. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord provides. So don't you worry about a thing. You just go to sleep, if you're a Christian tonight, with your sweet little head on the pillow and just praise and thank the Lord because he takes care of his own. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, go ahead.
Verse 3. David brought his two wives along with him, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. Verse 4. Word soon reached Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he stopped hunting for him. Verse 5. One day David said to Achish, quote, "If it is all right with you, we would rather live in one of the country towns instead of here in the royal city." Unquote. Verse 6. So Achish gave him the town of Ziklag, which still belongs to the kings of Judah to this day. King James Version, verse 7. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Verse 8. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. Verse 9. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned, and came to Achish. Verse 10. And Achish said, "Whither have ye made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." Verse 11. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will be his manner, all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." Verse 12. And Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever." Translation, verse 7 through 12. And they lived there among the Philistines for a year and 4 months. Verse 8. David and his men spent their time raiding the Geshurites, the Gezrites, and the Amalekites, people who had lived near Shur along the road to Egypt since ancient times. Verse 9. David didn't leave one person alive in the village he attacked. He took the sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and clothing before returning home to see King Achish. Verse 10. Quote, "Where did you make your way today?" unquote, Achish would ask. David would reply, quote, "Against the south of Judah, the Jerahmeelites, Jerahmeelites, and the Kenites, Kenites, unquote. Verse 11. No one was left alive to come to Gath and tell where he had really been. This happened again and again while he was living among the Philistines. Verse 12. Achish believed David and thought to himself, quote, "By now the people of Israel must hate him bitterly. Now he will have to stay here and serve me forever!" Exclamation mark, unquote.
Praise the Lord. Now that was the 12th verse of chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, and now I've got some commentary.
27, verse 1. It has been 2 years since David pretended to be insane in front of Achish, the king of Gath, to save his life. Chapter 21, verse 10. He returns as an outlaw and enemy of Saul and is accepted as politically beneficial to Achish. Verse 12. 27, verse 6. David asks for and is given Ziklag, not just as his residence, but as his possession. He was like a feudal lord over this area on the southern frontier of Philistia between Gaza and Beersheba. 27, verse 8. These raids were in the modern area of the Gaza Strip. The desert of Shur was east of the present Suez Canal. 27, verse 10. Judah, Jerahmeelites, Kenites were all in one way or another related to David. Judah was his own tribe. He was ensuring their support and became king while at the same time convincing Achish of his loyalty. 27, verse 1. David's fearful thoughts were not consistent with God's promises. He knew that God had a special plan for his life, which included being the king over Israel. After years of running for his life, however, David seems to have become discouraged. Motivated by fear, he moved to the land of the Philistines, where he encountered some compromising situations. Chapter 28, verse 1 through 2, chapter 29, verse 1 through 7. David needed to preserve his trust in God. God had protected him up until that point and was perfectly capable of continuing to protect him. Doing the Lord's will is never a short-term process. We have to do it on a daily basis. But after years of struggling, sometimes it is tempting for people to begin relying on their own wills and they slip away from God's will. If we desire God to help us and succeed, we must preserve our perseverance. We must continue on to the end, the Word of God says.
Okay, praise the Lord. That was 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 12, the translation and commentary. Okay, now we have part 11 of Dealing with the Flesh.
At this particular time, this might be the last of the series of Dealing with the Flesh. Then I'll get into Dealing with Self. So this will be the last one, at least for the time being. The life of the Lord on this earth shows that he is one who put his trust entirely in God his Father. Our Lord has no sin nor fault. Yet he said, quote, I can of myself do nothing, unquote, John 5:30.
Now even the Lord said he couldn't of himself do a thing. And so that means that if he couldn't do anything without the Father, then how could we? Amen?
Amen.
So he's our example that we have to trust solely in the Spirit. God is the Spirit, and now Jesus has become the life-giving Spirit. So he's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that no one can take my life. I lay it down and I, the Holy Spirit, raise it back up. So he's saying he's the Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
And so he can do nothing of himself. It has to be the Spirit. Not by man's power or might, but by my Holy Spirit. My Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Not by my ghost, because God is not a ghost. He's the Spirit. And I don't care what translators say, he is a ghost. He's not. He's the Spirit. All right? And I know the Lord that well to know that he is the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
When he was on this earth, he neither acted nor spake from himself. He was in the Father, and the Father in him. He did all things and spake all things through fellowship with the Father. This is the example for our dealing with the flesh. We must abide in the Lord and act as the Lord works within us. We must also speak as the Lord speaks within us.
It is only in this way that
the
we...
The Lord said, the words that I speak are not my own, but the Father's. Amen?
Amen.
I see the Father work, and then I work. Amen?
Amen.
I see what the Spirit wants, and then I do what the Spirit wants. That's what that means. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Go ahead.
It is only in this way that we will not be in the flesh. The 8th chapter of Romans speaks of dealing with the flesh as well as walking according to the Spirit or minding the Spirit. These two always go together. Whenever we do not walk according to the Spirit and mind the Spirit, nor live in the Spirit, we are in the flesh. When we deal with the flesh, we do not stress dealing with jealousy, selfishness, or pride for the flesh, but with our works and activities, behavior and manner of living that are outside of the Holy Spirit. Inasmuch as what we do is out...
Yeah, because everything we're doing in this world is on the... It looks like it's outward. It is outward to people because all they can see is our actions. And they can hear our words. And so that which comes from us, our direction, must be from the inward parts, from the Spirit. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read that again.
When we deal with the flesh, we do not stress dealing with jealousy, selfishness, or pride for the flesh, but with our works and activities, behavior, and manner of living that are outside of the Holy Spirit. Inasmuch as what we do is outside of the Holy Spirit and has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, whatever we do is the flesh, and whatever we do not do is also the flesh. Therefore, there is no other way, no other method of release from the flesh but the Holy Spirit.
Right, if you're doing all kinds of work that's not of the Spirit, that's of the flesh, and if you're a deadbeat, you just don't do anything, you're lazy, that's the flesh too. Okay. All right, then what?
It is only by walking after the Spirit, minding the Spirit, and living in the Spirit that we are released from the flesh. Therefore, the outcome of our dealing with the flesh is that we live in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, depending on the Holy Spirit in all matters for everything, never upon ourselves. It is not until this point is reached that we experience dealing with the flesh in its fullest measure. And I am sure that the Lord will be gracious unto us for doing it.
Right. And the Lord be gracious unto you. All right, remember these things, and if you have to, read the, I'm sure you will have to keep you reminded of these things. Take the tape that has affected you the most and replay it. Over and over again, if you must. Amen. And concentrate on the Lord and get your mind off the world because we're taking over now. And I mean, this is no longer the United States of America. The United States of America doesn't go to try to rule the world like Germany did. That's just not USA, that's Rome influencing weak-minded people in this country, and what we've got to do is try to win these people to the Lord before they attack us. We need to win people in Russia and China. We need to, I don't know if we had the Messiah book done in Russia yet, have we? Russian? I don't think so. Let's get that done in the Russian and Ukrainian, and let's get all these pieces of literature in Russian, Ukrainian, and Chinese. The tracts. I know we have the Chinese the Messiah book and the Japanese Messiah book now, but we need all the tracts done in those languages as well. And we just have to, and in Arabic, because we never know who we're going to run into in this world. And the Lord says that if we get the literature out to everybody, we'll be preserved. Amen?
Amen.
And who knows who that will be? The Lord said that He'd give us an enormous amount of money to get the gospel out for no other reason than that, and to support the different people that have been cut off from buying and selling when the mark of the beast is being forced on people, or people are being asked to take it. And it's going to be good to have friends all over the world at that time. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord will touch people's hearts through this literature. And you can see it's happening with every nationality so far. But we need to get more of the literature. Maybe we've got just a few tracks in Chinese and Japanese. And said we've got to get the whole, everything that the Lord has given me to all the different languages. Amen?
Amen.
And then I believe God will really bless us. All right? So let's keep that in mind, and wherever you go, take the literature with you and distribute, all right? And keep this on your minds, walking in the Spirit. Now, you say, well, how do we know what the Lord wants us to do? Well, we already have the direction. Get the literature out, and you'll be preserved, amen?
Amen.
That's already, he said that. And he said for me to, you know, read this word and explain the scriptures, for me to be the older brother in the church, to be the older one that brings these messages to the people in the church so that they can know what the Bible really says, and to continue writing. And you people have to distribute. Amen? Because if I can go out and distribute, I've done that when I first got saved. I distributed other people's literature before God touched me with the ability to write. But now, either I have to stay here and write and bring these messages, or I have to go out on the street. And there's more of you, and so you're the ones that are appointed to do that. So get out there, amen?
Amen.
And those of you that are helping with the translations, Maurice and you people out there and your wife, let's get busy getting this Russian Messiah book going. If it's, we haven't got it, Ukrainian, and whatever other ones. What are some of the other ones? Anybody know? Well, there's a lot of languages that we haven't got yet. So we might even have to get it in Gaelic, which is the Irish. And, you know, let's get it going. Amen?
Amen.
So until chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, and until the first of the series of dealing with the self, with self, this is Tony Alamo. Saying, God bless you. I'm not your pastor. I want to be. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.